We're in a season of great outpouring of the Spirit. The day spring from on high is visiting us through the tender mercies of our God. Draw near with an open heart to receive the blessings of our God through His servant, Pastor Dimeji Elubadebo. Be revived.
All right, let's see Deuteronomy chapter 33. Hallelujah. Deuteronomy 33. All right. Moses was the one that gave record of this scripture. The first five books of the Bible were documented by Moses. Moses was a prophet of God's ways. What did I say Moses was? It took David to show us that. David showed us that. I think that should be Psalm 105. Can you trace that scripture for me? That God revealed His ways to Moses, but He revealed His acts to the children of Israel. Okay? It's 103. Yes. He has made known His ways unto Moses. So, we know that Moses was a prophet of God's ways. The Bible called him the meekest man on earth. While he was living, he was the meekest man. So he was a custodian of God's ways. And he had a revelation of things of God in creation. So Moses was the one that gave us the archive of Genesis. In the beginning, God. So it takes a man of ways to have sight into the beginning. So Moses was not an ordinary prophet. Can we say amen? In the New Testament, they were comparing Jesus and Moses. Moses is a type of a Christ in the whole Testament. A type of a Christ. His name itself is the name of a Savior or Deliverer. You know, the context of which Moses was born was, yes, he was brought out of water, but his mission was to bring deliverance. Moses was a deliverer. Jesus is a deliverer. Can we say amen? I'm just trying to show you that Moses was a prophet of God's ways, and God was the one that brought revelation of things everlasting, things of the beginning. So it took Moses to show us the boundary between the eternal God and the everlasting God. Those lines, they are not ordinary lines, to be able to know the line where the eternal God reveals itself in creation. So it takes a prophet of God's ways to know that. Can we all say amen? I don't know if you are getting what I'm saying. I want us to give credence to what Moses, anything Moses say. Moses got things of God, a custodian of things of God, secrets of God, secrets of the everlasting beginning. That is the everlasting God, which is the creator of the heavens and earth. We have taught you that the everlasting God is a creator of the heavens and the earth. So when Moses recorded in Genesis 1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Moses had a revelation of the space or the content of life that was responsible for creation. Now I'm using content of life as in what was in God, the everlasting God, that prompted him to bring forth creation. So Moses knew that. That creation is a byproduct of the everlasting wisdom of God. What did I say? Let's say that again. But before the dimension of creation, we know that if creation is a byproduct of the everlasting wisdom of God, it means the everlasting life of God is older than creation. Can we say amen? I think there's a scripture like that in Proverbs chapter 8. All right? Is it Proverbs 8? Yes. Start from verse 21. Talking about wisdom. So this wisdom is wisdom in everlasting. The everlasting wisdom of God that brought forth creation. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way, before the works of old. So that those works, I like the word. It says, the Lord possessed me. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way. That way there is the beginning of the way that brought forth creation. Can we say amen? Amen. This is wisdom speaking. This man had so much insight. So it says, the Lord possessed me. No, chapter 8 of Proverbs. I can't go to the beginning. It's talking about wisdom. So this is wisdom that brought forth creation. And it says, the Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way. Can we say amen? Amen? So Moses knew God's ways. So God, wisdom, there's a wisdom that the Lord possessed in the beginning of his way, before his works of old. So these works of old are works of creation. So there is a wisdom that is what? Older, or is a predecessor of creation. I hope you are following me. What did I say there is? There's a wisdom that is a predecessor of creation. So there's no how that Moses will not know things of the beginning, because he was a prophet of ways. So those ways of the everlasting God, they open secrets of the beginning before creation. Now I'm not even talking about the realm of the eternal God, because the realm of the eternal God is a realm that cannot be calibrated in time. Can we say amen? But there is a beginning before creation. And that beginning is the revelation of the everlasting God in creation. Can we say amen? Amen. Now, let's go back to that. I'm going somewhere this evening. Deuteronomy chapter 33 says, the eternal God is thy refuge. Another word for refuge is thy dwelling or thy habitation. The eternal God is thy refuge. Underneath her. So the everlasting arms are an extension of the eternal God. Can we all say that? Let's say that again. So I like the word everlasting arms. So everlasting life is the revelation of the eternal God in time or creation. Is the eternal God introducing himself to creation. So it is a condescension. So I like the word everlasting arms. It's like the eternal God stretching himself into creation. Just think about it. is stretching himself into creation. He can be drawn into creation. So the eternal God is thy refuge. Only God knows how Moses knew this. Can we say amen? It only takes a prophet of God's ways to know this. This is what Jesus was talking about in John 14. Believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house, there are many mansions. He says, I go prepare a place for you. So the place that Jesus was talking about in John 14 is a place of refuge. What did I say that place is? Or rest. So Moses saw that, had revelation into the eternal program of God, that God's highest purpose for man is for man to rest or dwell in the refuge of God. Can we all say amen? Amen. So you know, he was talking to the children of Israel, and Israel is a type of the people of God. So he's saying, Israel, the eternal God is your rest. Beneath him, and underneath the eternal God, are what? His everlasting arms. Now I'm saying that these everlasting arms is the demonstration of the eternal God in creation. So, can we say amen? It is, creation is an expression also of the arms of the everlasting God. All right, this everlasting God, the arms are very deep. God must show them to us. I can't hear you say amen.
Amen.
So, part of the things that the everlasting arms can do is to bring forth creation. Even creation is not the measurement of the strength of the everlasting arms of God. But creation is a byproduct of the everlasting arms. I like the word arms. When I checked the word arms, what it meant was strength. It's from the Hebrew word called zeruah. It means strength. It can also mean forces. Can we say amen? So like I said, everlasting hands can brought forth creation. But that is not even the measurement of everlasting hands. Everlasting hands is the strength of the everlasting God. What did I say everlasting hands are? Can we say that one more time? So hands, there is strength. Or forces. So when we say forces, it's the strength of the life of the everlasting God. Now let's see Jeremiah 10:10. I just want to take my time this evening, okay? Let's build our thoughts gradually. Can we all say amen?
Amen.
Alright? Glory to God. You know, at times people say, argue. Why are people arguing? Is there a difference and all that? Everlasting life, listen to this, is an expression of eternal life. What did I say? It's like a derivative. The raw life of God is eternal. Everlasting life is, I like the word derivative. When you say something is a derivative, you can draw it out. You can pull Christ's life out of everlasting life. You can pull everlasting life out of eternal. It's a derivative. Maybe if you did chemistry, you know, fractionating column. All right? So, crude is just one crude you have. But when you subject crude oil to pressure or different temperature, it begins to give you several products or derivatives. Now, all those derivatives, they are all from crude oil. Bitumen is from crude oil. Kerosene is from crude oil. PMS Okay, PMS is from crude oil. DPK. That's diesel. I'm not OPEC. Is it kerosene? I think kerosene is DPK. AGO is diesel. Kerosene, I think, is DPK. Liquefied gas. So you have derivatives. So, but when you say the raw, I like what they even call it crude oil. When I say it's crude, it's raw. Can we say amen? Can we all say amen? So I don't want to use the word crude for God because God is refined. But I would rather use the word raw, or let me use the word original. So eternal life is original life in God before creation. However, because of the purpose of God for creation. Now, if God is going to bring forth creation, in fact, the only reason for creation is creation is a project of love, like I've taught you. What did I say creation is? And man is the centerpiece of creation. There wouldn't have been any creation if not for man. In fact, the way I see it, man is an eternal thought. Man is not an everlasting thought. Angels are everlasting thoughts. Because angels are, can we say amen? I can't hear you say amen. Angels are beings in creation. But I believe that God's thought for man had been in him before creation. Do you agree? We have a scripture for that. That's in Titus chapter 1. And then we also have 2 Timothy chapter 1. So, let your hand know that Jesus Christ was not an afterthought. Can we all say amen? Amen. The Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. So, I'm saying that man is the reason why God brought forth creation. Can we all say that? So, for God to introduce himself into creation, God must reduce himself. Or, let me use the word, humble himself. Because there has to be a meeting point. So, the meeting point of an eternal God with man. With an everlasting man. Because man in his original form were everlasting. Do we all believe that man is an everlasting creation? Yes. So the meeting point between an eternal God and an everlasting man is an everlasting plane. So man cannot ascend to meet God in his eternalness. God has to descend to meet man on an everlasting plane. So God created, so creation is for God to introduce himself to man. So the introduction of God, the eternal God to man, the eternal God will have to become a father. Can we say amen? Because now he must now take up the identity of begotten sons. Are you following me?
Yes,
nobody saying amen.
Amen.
So we can say it is the fatherhood of God that brought forth creation. Creation is an expression of fatherhood. God brought forth creation for the purpose of fatherhood, particularly because God has to nurture man. Can we all say amen? I don't know if you are following me. Hallelujah. So I'm just showing you that everlasting arms is a condescension of the eternal God. It's an extension, a lower extension of the eternal God. It is underneath him. That shows us that he's a lower derivative to the raw energy of life in the eternal God. So, but I like the word everlasting arms. Can we say everlasting arms? So, like I said, the word arms means strength. All right? The word arms also means forces. Now, take me to Jeremiah 10:10. We'll come back here. Thank you. You know, there's a way prophets render scripture. So, Jeremiah is a prophet. He rendered the scripture in a condescending manner. So, look at it. It says, but the Lord, this Lord is the everlasting God. We know this from Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. Am I right? Hast thou not 28? Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the what? The everlasting God, the Lord. So who is the Lord? Are you seeing this? Who is the Lord? You can see they use capital L-O-R-D. Alright? So we have Lord, we have Lord God. So the everlasting God. So we have Lord, we also have Lord God. Both of them are everlasting. One is living. One is true. But I'm just showing you that the everlasting God is the Lord. Right? So the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth. That is why Isaiah described him to be. Now let's look at Jeremiah. So, but the Lord is the true God. So this is the first expression of the everlasting God. What did I call this? After the eternal God. Remember, the eternal God is thy refuge. I hope you are following me. Okay? The eternal God is thy refuge. Beneath him or underneath him are what? Everlasting arms. So the first arm of the everlasting God is the true God. Can we all say that? I can't hear you. Now, another word for harm, like I've told you, is strength. So, it means everlasting life are in calibrations of strengths. That is very interesting. God has calibrations of life in him at different strengths. What a God. So I say, what do you mean? You people are always dividing things. Take it coolly. Cool. Cool temper. How I know it's true is just study creation. When you study creation very well, both the planet's bodies, the world of animals and plants, then you can agree that life at different strengths. Do we all agree? Do you know that the strength of light in stars, sun, and moon is not the same? What is God teaching us? That light differs or glory differs. So the glory of the star is not the same thing as the sun and the moon. And even stars differ in glory. I was checking, somebody was, I don't know that thing. I was just studying the galactical world. I saw some matches and I was so amazed. I mean, they say there are 1 billion stars in our own galaxy. And it's still expanding. Billion. Over 200 billion. You know, when you look at stars, like you say, all that small thing you are seeing, there are billions of them. Billions of stars. Billions. You can't imagine. You don't understand. If I had said something about another world, is it not even trillion? I need to get that document. I mean, I just kept it in one corner. I said, that's just and they said that's just one. They say, our own Milky Way. So, by the time they showed the Milky Way, they now show the sun, one small thing, inside the Milky Way. And all that is still visible creation. Or Earth. The dimension of stars is still Earth. The dimension of sun, moon, and stars is still the region of Earth. We are not even talking about the heavens. So when you are even when you want to think the heavens is unthinkable by the by human mind. Can we say amen?
Amen.
Glory to God. So we cannot, science does not argue with classification. Alright? Because it has been proven that there are strata of life. Huh? Same thing with the animal world. Animals are not the same. Same thing with the plant world. Plants are not the same. I remember in biology, SS1, they taught us taxonomy. Classification. So God brought forth creation in different strata of life. When you even look at the angelic world, there's also classification. I don't know. Are we interested? When you study, just study animal world. When you, if you like natural geography, right? Nat Geo world. You just see, you study cat family. You know that tiger is a cat. The one in your house is called Ologbo. It's also a cat. Can you tell me they are the same thing? Somewhere they are the same, but their life differs. Sir, Ologbo can take milk and can be playing in your house. They're not born you and make a good tiger for there. Classification. Same thing with dog. You know, we have a dog at home. I used to wonder that, how come my wife would say, this dog, look at how it's like a pet dog. Even the teeth of the dog. I'm sure if that dog bites me, I'll just be like this. The teeth is very, if you see the teeth, very sweet, like milk teeth. And they say she's a grandmother. That she has given birth to many children. How much is only occur? Like grandmother. And you don't see her teeth, I just look at. And it is the same dog for me that there is wolf. Everybody say classification. So we don't argue with that when it comes to creation. So even in God, there are classifications of life. You see, all this thing I mentioned, you know, it came out from the same God.
Yeah.
So, I don't know what to say. God is one but many. Please, can you repeat that for?
God is one but many.
Say that again, no?
God is one but many.
Aha. We must be comfortable with that. Huh? If you think you know God at one level, you're a master of one level in God. By the time they bring you to another level of God, you start from nursery school. You'll be wondering, but I thought I know God. I say, in this place, we don't know you, sir. You have to start learning again. God has faces. Huh? That's how vast He is. You know that even when you look at the body of Christ, we have generals of different levels. Apostles. Somebody is an apostle, is a big apostle. Within a region of one light. By the time he comes, you know, there are some apostles, I'm sorry to say this, I'm not lifting up myself, but some apostles will come to some regions when they hear something. You will hear teaching that you have never heard before in your life. You will be humble, sir. Okay? I'm just an apostle of milk. So that you can be an apostle of milk and you know nothing of the word of Christ. Even in milk, there are levels of apostolic sight. Only very few people even had complete apostolic sight into milk. People like Hagin. That Hagin was a man that had complete apostolic sight into all the milk meals. So you can even carry some measure of apostolic grace in milk, and your strength is repentance from dead works. You know nothing of faith towards God. In fact, when you look at the milk curriculum, it's a world. And you have churches built around some of the lights of milk. You see some churches, they are strong with repentance from dead work. There's a church, is, I was told, is the third largest church in the world. Their strength is repentance from dead works. So a church can grow that big. I don't know if you, I just want you to get something. A church can grow big on one layer of truth. In milk, we should fear God. That's why you must have a hand that always wants to journey. I mean, that's just a lesson. Nobody should just not go and feel that you are something. Say, you know, we have all the lights. Sir, don't be playing with such player. Those are plays. You'll be shocked that you're coming to a zone you know nothing about. This is our God. So, the true God is the first harm of the everlasting God. Right? I wanted to move around so that I can get our attention a little bit. So, but the Lord is the true God, comma. That's the first strata of the everlasting God. He is also what? The living God. Can we say living God? So this is the next strength of the everlasting God. So the everlasting God has strengths or harms. When you say something is a harm, what do you mean? It can mean many things. Say, an harm is like a branch. So the first branch of the everlasting God is the true God. So imagine, when you say something is a branch, inside that branch, there are also things inside. Can we say amen? Amen. Then he's also what? The living God. Then, and what? Everlasting. So, when I say everlasting king, or we can say kingdom. Because the king, kingdom, king, you get king from kingdom, or kingdom is a king's domain. So when you want to measure the everlasting dominion, there can be calibrated in the strength of the true God. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
And what? The living God. And everlasting, that one, king. When I check the word means reign. You get the word melech. Melech. It means king, queen, or one that reigns. So you can see, you want to measure the strength of the everlasting dominion is in two harms. The strength of the everlasting dominion is in two harms. Everybody say two harms. So the first harm is the true God. The next harm is the living God. Can we all say amen?
Amen?
Now, so like I said, harm is strength. So let's look at, so what exactly are the strengths of the everlasting God? Because we need to know them. That's how we take them serious. Can we all say amen?
Amen.
Let's see Psalm 110 first, then I'll build my thought gradually. Amen. All right. Praise God. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make. Look at that. So of course we know that the Lord said unto my Lord. Can we say amen?
Amen.
So Pastor, they use the word L-O-R-D again. So that's God. Can we say amen? I can't hear you say amen.
Amen.
Said to my Lord, sit at what? My right hand until I want make thy enemies thy footstool. So what will make enemies his footstool are the harms of the everlasting God.
Amen.
What did I say? I can't hear you. Now let's see that again. Let's see Deuteronomy again, all right? That's scripture. Thank you. So without the revelation of the everlasting hands, enemies will not be made his footstool. So it means that everlasting hands must be taught as light, or their lights in the everlasting God. Because what will make enemies his footstool is an understanding. Enemies will not just be made his footstool. There is an understanding in the everlasting God. Or the arms of the everlasting God. Nigeria has coat of arms. Abi, is it a coat of arms? National coat of arms. That it has two horses. It has a shield. There has an eagle. They call it national coat of arms. So, I like the word arms. So, it means that understanding is an armory. There's an understanding of the arms of the everlasting God that must be communicated to the church to make his enemies his footstool. If those things are not revealed, enemies will not be made his footstool. They cannot be made. So those enemies only respond to the arms in the everlasting God. So if you don't even enter the world of the everlasting God, you don't have the weapon, or you don't have the tools to subdue, bring those enemies under his feet. You now see why you can understand the warfare of the church. Some of the things that we are combating spirits that we don't have, they are key. They are older than us. We just shout, devil is a bastard. I say, yes, I'm a bastard. He said, I agree. But say, have you ever heard that before? Satan is a bastard. And he agreed. I said, yes, I'm a bastard. But I am still the one controlling your life. A bastard is controlling your life. You know what I'm talking about? He has systems in place that determine the course of nations. So even many believers are under the veil, the face of the covering cast. It's the face of covering cast over all nations. It's over all nations. Nations are under the face of the covering cast. So if you are not in the feast of the everlasting God, the veil will not be destroyed. Can we say amen?
Amen.
Take me to that Isaiah 25. I want to take my time. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Look at that. Let's just compare scripture with scripture. In this mountain shall the Lord of hosts. You can see the Lord again. Yes. When you see hosts, it's the Lord of the armies of God.
Amen.
At times, hosts is not just limited to angels. Like in the time of David, in 1 Chronicles chapter 12, men were coming to David, and all of a sudden, the Bible said somewhere in the verse, it says, until they become like a great host, the armies of God. So host at times is not just limited to angels. They are hosts also of the world to come. What did I say there? So in this mountain shall the Lord of hosts make unto all people a feast of fat things, a feast of wines on the least, of what? Fat things full of marrow, of wines of least, well refined, and it will destroy. So the purpose of the feast is one thing. Everybody say destroy.
Destroy.
I can't hear you. And
it
will destroy what? In this mountain. The face of the covering cast over all people. And the veil spread over those nations. So there are two. They are twain. The face and the veil. Alright? What did I say?
The face
of the covering cast over all people. And the veil. That word veil is what you get mascara or mask. When you check the word veil, that's what it means. Mask. Can we say amen?
Amen.
Why are people laughing when I say mascara? Yes, it's Max now. You are covering up something. Mascara, you are covering something. The real thing is under. So, veil, so you can see. So, the feast also deals with twin expressions of death. Face and veil. Veil is also face. But it's a thicker face. What did I say veil is? So you can see. So you need everlasting arms of the everlasting God to handle both face and veil. He will destroy in this mountain, not anywhere. So what will handle the face of the covering cast and the veil over all nations? You can see. You will know. It says, look at it. Can we say amen? Amen. Bible, sir. Look at it. He will destroy in this mountain the face of the covering cast over some nations. All people. So it means every person is under this face. Then look at what, and the veil spread over some nations. Now, what's the difference between all people and all nations? It's the same thing. It's just prophetic languages. People are nations. It's just showing you the spectrum of the activity of what? The face of the covering cast. It's a face and it's a veil. So you need the two arms of the everlasting God. So you need the arm of the living God to handle the face of the covering cast. Then you need the arm of the true God to handle the veil spread over all nations. Hallelujah. I hope you are getting me. Take me back. So in this mountain, I like God in this mountain. So you can see. So the arms of the everlasting God are doctrines in the everlasting God. It's alignment of doctrine. That is a feast. It's a table of understanding. So the table is meant to arm you against. Because this is a prophecy that is already ongoing. Meaning, you cannot confess yourself not to be under the face of the covering cast. I am a child of God. I am a child. In the name of Jesus, I cancel the oppression of the face of the covering cast. Now, let me tell you this. The face of the covering cast is a government. If it is a government, it has a binding law. So you can see. So the face of the covering cast and the veil are laws. Or they are governments. Or we can say they are arms. Can we say amen? No, Satan too has arms. He is devil and Satan. They are not the same thing. The dragon is also twofold. So you can overcome the devil part of the dragon. You have not finished dealing with him, sir. You have to expire all his arms. And a little, can we say amen? I can't hear you say amen. So the dragon is like a crown of works. Follow my thought. What did I say the dragon is? So devil and Satan are works. Dragon is a crown. Or a seal. It's an oppression. They are oppressions. So to get to the dragon, you must deal with devil and Satan. Then you can now meet the dragon. So actually, for you to deal with the dragon, you must expire his works. It's also in Revelation chapter 12. That old serpent. And you know, there's a way the Revelation render it. It's the same thing. And when apostles are rendering scripture, you must understand that they're not just writing the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan. So those are works. Thank you, Pastor. So devil and Satan are works. Dragon is a name. It's a crown. Can we say amen? We see it again in Revelation 20. And he take hold of the dragon, comma, that old serpent, which he is, the devil and Satan, and bound him. So you can see, I'm just showing you the reason why the lights of the everlasting God must be unveiled as understanding to the church. It is to arm you against. What did I say it is to do? It is to arm you against a negative prophecy over all mankind. So he shall destroy death in this mountain. Take me back to that Isaiah. I'm enjoying this. He shall destroy death in this mountain, all right? He shall destroy. Take me to verse 8. You are blessed. So he will swallow up death in victory. Look at that. So you can see. So it is the feast on the mountain, which is the revelation of the everlasting God, the arms of the everlasting God that would handle death. It will swallow up. I like the word swallow up. Can we say amen? Amen. Death in victory. And the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces. I don't know why these people write this. Pastor CG, why Lord God? You know, this is the true God. So when you see them use Lord, at times they can use Lord that covers the complete arms of the everlasting God. But at times prophets can use Lord and Lord God. Can we say amen? Amen. So it is in the activity of the true God that expires the reign of death. So we can say the arm of the true God handles death. The arm of the living God handles sin. When I mean sin, I'm talking about sin, not at the level of the sanctuary. So, one arm of the everlasting God produces sinlessness. The last arm of the everlasting God produces deathlessness. I can't hear you say amen to that. So, it's possible for you. Because the first man was sinless. Believe me, he was. But he was not immune to death. Meaning, he was still subject to corruption. But the Bible called him a living soul. When you say somebody is a living soul, Adam from day one had the installation of the works of the living God. Please, let me explain that again. I don't think I passed that well. So when God made Adam, Adam was not just raised as a, you know what you say, you just fashion dust, you mold, you know the way you read it in Bible, so you mold, you now breathe into him. And he became a living soul. Can we say amen? That's not how God fashioned, it's beyond that. I'm not talking about the physical body of Adam. I'm talking about the constitution of his soul. Adam's soul was a combination of works. What did I say Adam's soul was? They fashioned his soul as it was a revelation and understanding that God used to frame him. He was not an ordinary man. From the first day he was born, he had the components of a living soul. So one arm of the everlasting God was completely installed in him. One arm of the everlasting God. How do I know? Psalm 8. Psalm 8. Am I right? Oh God, what is man that thou art mindful of him? And what? The son of man that thou what? Visitest him. For thou art made him a little lower than the angels. A lot of theologians have argued this. Pentecostal charismatics say, no, these angels is not, angels are not, we are not lower than angels. These angels is not, is Elohim, is God. Actually, yes, in superlative, they use the same word for God also. But this scripture is not talking about God. The world of the living soul was lower than the world of the angels. The world of man. In this present creation, the world of man is subject to a higher world.
Amen.
Can we say amen? Amen? So concerning the present, angels are the custodians of the present. So it's not a lie to say, or it's not misplaced theology to say that you made him a little lower. He's talking about the dominion of the living soul. The dominion of the living soul was lower than the angels. Can we all say amen?
Amen.
It's clear now. If he was higher, why will a fallen angel deceive him? I mean, let's just not argue too much. Can an ant deceive you? All right? Whatever is lower than you. In fact, what makes you higher than something is not your physical strength, it's your wisdom. Can we say amen? But I'm suspecting rats. That rat, I can't place them very well. It's as if maybe they did something to them. I saw one rat one time. He opened bag. I was removing something. I said, this one is not a rat. This one a man, sir. He opened the bag. I was taking something away from the bag and closed it back. I say, you'd have to say your children stole something. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But thou hast made him a little lower than the angels. And thou what? Has crowned him. Everybody say crown. With what? Glory. And what? Honor. So it's twin crowns. So we can even say that the living works are even twin. Living God. So it's glory and honor. The crowns is called glory and honor. So because you need to understand this thing. When you read one of the churches in the book of Revelation, it talked about, so you have good works. Perfect works. So good works are not one. Oh, you're not getting what I'm saying. So when you say the works of the living soul, it's not just one. It's a system of works. Two always represents balance or pillar. So it's a system of works. And he was crowned with what? Glory and honor. So this man, the first day, he came into consciousness. He had the sense of a living soul. He had the works of a living soul. He had the crown of a living soul. So the crown has seals. What did I say the crown has? Oh God. What did I say the crown has? So the seal is also the measurement of the harm. Your harm is your crown. How do I know? Harms. Is an expression of government. Oh, you didn't get that. What did I say? So when you say you have an arm, it is governmental. In fact, when you check the word, when you check the word, zeroha, that word harms. I said it means strength. It means military and political power. So harms means military political power. So, military political power is an expression of government. You cannot have military power if it's not governmental.
So crowned there are arms. So the living soul man had arms. Glory arm, honor arm, because of works that God installed in his soul. It was Job that described it very well. Another word for arms. I'm trying to open your mind in many dimensions. Another word for arm is breath. And God made man from the dust of the ground and breathed into man. And man became a living soul. You see, that breath is not an ordinary thing. That breath is a seal for a walk. What did I say breath is? Thank you. Two scriptures. I taught this last day in NLWC. The Spirit of God has made me. That word made is the word asa. It means fashion. So this made is not just made. It's fashion or raise. So the operation of the Spirit of God is twin. It will raise, then it will breathe. It will raise. The Spirit of the Lord has made me. Or we can say, the Spirit of the Lord has raised me. Then after that, the breath of the Almighty has what? Given me life. So man is not complete without his works and his breath. You walk, building, breath is the seal or the arms. Now it's not like the building is not the arms. But the arms, it cannot function without his crown. So you are not complete without your breath. What did I say you are? Or without your crown. Take me to 32 verse 8. Thank you. There is a spirit in man. The inspiration of the what? Or the breath of the Almighty giveth them understanding. The way the Lord described the scripture to me, I like the word spirit in man. They form spirit in man. So when I say spirit in man, it's talking about a reality in your soul. When they say a man is spiritual, it's not because he's spooky. Similarly, when they say a man is spiritual, it's because he was raised to be so. I like the word spiritual. Because in the New Testament, they use more. In the Old, you see spirit. But in the New Testament, they use spiritual. Meaning to be spiritual is to be spirit. So but you, for you to be a spirit, they must raise you. It's a work that makes you spirit. Can we say amen? For a soul of man to be spirit, somebody's soul is spirit. It's not ordinary. They have built something in that soul. Is a work that raised that soul. A soul must be raised to be spirit. So this is how God does. God will raise you and then you will contact your breath. You call for your breath or you call for your crown. Your crown, crowning is a proof that there is a content. Breath is a proof that there is a work. Can we say amen? So that's how they're going to raise the exceeding great army. I'm just showing you systems of God building because this is Ezekiel 37, but that's not where I'm going now. And these things are true. I won't lie to you. These things, and that's why you should not play with seasons of building. I notice that when breath comes, breath is instantaneous. You just come alive. You come into an understanding. You begin to function in a new realm. You're authorized to function in that realm. But it's not that day that they began building the work. Can we all say amen?
Amen.
Take me to John 30. So I'm showing you the living. So Adam was sinless. Because incorruptible life begins from living soul life. It's a beginning, but it's not full incorruption. So it means that it can still be harmed by the forces of death. Can we say amen? Actually, there are certain spirits that could not have deceived Adam in the hierarchy of spirits. For instance, Adam was higher than principality power, rulers of darkness, and beneath them. He was higher than them. There's no way they could not comprehend the wisdom he had. He was above them. As a living soul, the earth was beneath him. So any spirit that constitutes earth were not match for Adam. Let me say that again. As a living soul man, the earth was beneath him. And the earth, like I said, is not just what you call earth. The earth is a concept in God. It's a calibration of life in God. God has heaven and earth. Interestingly, spirits too. Fallen spirits are calibrated like that. So we have spirits against earth of God. What did I say? Then we also have spirits against heavens of God. Because earth is not one, neither is heavens. So principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, they are spirits arranged against the earth of God. Then spiritual wickedness in what? Spiritual wickedness in what? High places. So it's not one place. So there are places. There are stratas also of wickedness. Like for instance, devil is a form of wickedness. Satan is another one. Devil means doer of evil. Satan means hinderer. It's not the same thing. So you can be fighting devil, you have not known Satan. Who was fighting Jesus when he was going to the cross? Oh, you didn't get what I'm saying. Jesus got it right. Get behind me, Satan. Now, so devil is the one that teaches you to do evil works. Jesus has expired him. Has expired that harm of Satan. So it now remained the hinderer. The one that opposes. Now, when the hinderer is walking, he walks in high subtlety. Now, the hinderer came to walk through a friend of Jesus Christ. Jesus just declared his mandate, I'm going to die. Huh? Meanwhile, look at it. I want to show you how hinderer operates. Peter just gave revelation about stratas of God. Who do men say I am? The other guys could not answer. Peter spoke. Says, thou art the Christ, comma, son of the living God. That's not ordinary. He says, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in what? Heaven. Upon this rock, because it's a composite rock, Christ, son of the living God, will now form the foundation for the true God. So Peter got it right. He says, upon this rock will I build my church and the gates of hell. So the gates of hell, they are the highest powers of hell, cannot prevail against this revelation that you just brought. So the next thing that Satan had to come. Because Satan, can we say amen?
Amen.
Satan had to show face. Who is bringing forth stuff there? That can stop gates of hell. So I'm sure they just sampled Peter. They just sampled the guy. Who is the guy that just spoke that revelation right now? That's the person who I'm going to go and meet. You know what I'm saying? That's why you can say something. Does not mean that you are armed against it. You can preach something. Satan will still fight you with what you preached. Because you are not harmed yet. You only preached it. You have not been harmed by it. Some of us, we know stuff in our head. If certain challenges come, we will forget immediately. It shows that we never knew it. It has not become your armor. Everybody say armor. Your armor is an understanding that becomes part of your life. So the same Peter that brought forth revelation that we stop gates of hell was a person that Satan came to blow wind. So Jesus now, he brought forth his mandate. After Peter has said that, the next thing you say is how that scripture will come to pass. So Jesus brought the additional layer. Up until now, Jesus has never revealed this. If you check the Gospels very well, Jesus has never said anything that he would die. But now, he came in plain terms. And from that time forth, because Revelations opens forth season. Open season of understanding. From that time forth, Jesus began to show his disciples. So it was that revelation that opened on that season. How he must go to Jerusalem and what? Suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed. Imagine somebody showing revelation of how he would die. So, for Peter to say this, the season has come. Let me open this other light. So, guys, I will suffer. And as a matter of fact, they are going to kill me. Imagine somebody close to you say that. But he said, I'll be raised the third day. Now, Peter did not hear I'll be raised the third day. In the name of Jesus, over my dead body. I reject it in Jesus' name. The guy was busy saying, I reject it in Jesus' name. He didn't know that, death is just is one face of the walk that there is resurrection. So look at what Peter said. And Peter took him, He first took him. He didn't say anything. So that took him was an aggressive taking. He first took him. Maybe there were plenty. He took him to one corner. I think theology has said that Peter is likely older than Jesus in natural age. So Jesus was like his younger brother. Maybe he was older than Jesus by 2 years. You can be my Lord, but I broke me, Lord. Can we say amen? He took him and then began to what? Rebuke him. Scolding him. Even though you are my Lord, but this one you are wrong. Be it far from thee, Lord. Did he call him Lord though? So it's not like he was not conscious that he was not Lord. But at times maybe the Lord can be foolish at times, The Lord at times can mess up. So let me show the Lord that you don't know everything. Be it far from thee, Lord. That shall not be unto thee. But that thing, this shall not be unto thee. That thing was the will of God. So I'm showing you what Satan hinders. Satan hinders the prosperity of God's program. And he will come, he can come through loved ones. So it's very difficult to pick Satan. It's easier to pick devil, doer of evil. Even that you need judgment. But it's more subtle to pick an hinderer. I perceive, I may be wrong. I don't know all these things. But I perceive Satan is the accuser of the brethren. Now, let's go back. So, Jesus saw it. I said we will grow in judgment. Amen. Now, this is why we need everlasting light. Everlasting light are not just... You see, what God is teaching us that we are coming into specific understanding. It is light that... There are certain diseases that you don't pick. Or there are certain things you don't pick under certain lights. When you have certain fracture, X-ray can pick it. Maybe if it's bone fracture. But if it's brain tumor, X-ray cannot pick it, sir. They'll say, go and do, is it MRI? So that's a stronger light. So there are certain operations of the enemy you can't pick, except you are harmed with a higher light. So what you see here is judgment. So as at this stage in Jesus' ministry, he had the light of the true God. Because he takes the light of the true God that arms you with the wisdom of the true God to pick Satan. Now, what's the purpose of this? To hinder is also to corrupt or to spoil. Now, whatever, if they can hinder, then they will eventually spoil. Now, can we say, I may be wrong, but I perceive it was Satan that Adam fought. He's still the old serpent. But he was an oppression that appealed to him. It appealed to Adam. Adam was already cooperating. You don't understand? So Adam had been taken over. So they just used Eve as bait. Eve was not, listen. Eve was a living soul, but in terms of formation, I believe that she was, the Bible called her the mother of the living. Am I right? Yeah. That's her name, mother of the living. It's not mother of all living things. Every living soul, praise the Lord. Mother of the living means that she was a living soul too. So please, don't be abusive if you don't have a stature. You don't have Eve's stature. Mother of the living. Imamani Eve. Who they were fighting, all living. Thank you. She was a man of all living. So if she was mother, so who, think of who Adam was. These are not ordinary people. So Adam and Eve would not have quarreled one day in the garden. Living soul. Then living soul, not a quarrel, sir. So you can notice that their temptation was not even after. Their temptation was a glory temptation. The only thing Satan could use to corrupt them was the promise of God. So you cannot use corruptible things to corrupt them. You cannot use the world to tempt a living soul. You don't understand? You cannot use the world to tempt a living soul. Car, shoe, house, beneath living soul. My brother has big ministry. All those things, living soul, no, they see him. Living soul does not notice their mind, me, I'm not married. Living soul does not, they are naked and unashamed. Because they are clothed with glory. So you can know the kind of conversation. So the only thing that Satan used to tempt them was the promise of God. Promise of God. Promise of God. Was a perversion of a glory promise. You shall be as God. So that was what those guys were looking up to. So you can see that as you grow, your temptation changes. Imagine, some of us are not even, Satan is telling them that about you shall be like God. This is another way to be like God. Easier way to be like God. Sir, so you don't even want to be like God, sir. You, sir, you want to hammer. You want to make it here. I say God will raise living souls. Churches of the living God. That's what we are becoming gradually. So we'll put beneath the world completely under us. They will not start warring glories. Because there's war. There are glories of this world. So living soul, what they war are glories in their different strata. So this was a glory war. The glory of the tree of life, the glory of the wisdom that is in God was what the serpent used. So I believe that Adam warred at that level of becoming true. I don't know. Are you with me? He was already a living soul. Huh? So the next seasons of journey for him was to become true. So the warfare was to stop him from becoming true. Now, mind you, let me tell you this. You may not know. Jesus Christ, when Jesus Christ appeared, contrary to what we thought before, because now light has increased. When Jesus appeared on Jordan, he was already a living soul. He was a complete living soul. He was a complete living soul. So, everlasting life has been given to him before age 30. By age 30, he had finished the first season of everlasting life. He was already a living son. So who entered into ministry was a living son. So those, thank you, Pastor, you're following. So those three temptations were temptations of the living soul or living son. The Satan just came to tempt him, if that is living son, authentication is true. So after he brought, you see, all those three things he brought, if you are not a living son, you cannot undo them. All those things, most prophets before Jesus failed for them. I'm talking about prophets. So after Jesus overcome those three, Satan, the Bible says, this guy is more than. The Bible says he left him what? For an opportune time. So the warfare is for Adam was for him to he fell short from glory. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So Adam already had the glory of the living God. So what he fell short from was the mark of the true God. I don't know if I'm making any sense. And come short of the glory. This is the glory of the true God. So you can see why God has to harm the church. So what are harms? Understanding. Okay, I hope I'm not disturbing you too much. Some people are already tired. Just looking at scripture, some people are already tired. You need to have discipline on waiting on the word. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit down on my right until I make enemies. Look at the everybody say enemies. So those are plural. Thy enemies. Thy enemies. Thy footstool. So it means that the until season is the season of the revealing of the harms of the everlasting God. So that period of until is not is a time where there will be an understanding of the harms of the everlasting God that will do one thing: thrust out the enemy. I like the word thrust out. It's two things. He will thrust out, then he will what? Destroy. That word thrust out means cast away, drive out, expel, or take away from his hiding place. So you can't destroy something that is still hiding. Hello, people are not saying amen with me. As long as an enemy is hiding, it cannot be destroyed. The first point of destruction is to unveil him from his hiding place. So that's the first thing that the everlasting arms will do. He will first thrust it out, meaning it will bring it out from where it's hidden. Now, the enemies of God, like Okpe was teaching us on Tuesday, they are hidden enemies. These enemies that are against our calling or our inheritance, they are hidden enemies. They call them enemies of the heights. Deuteronomy chapter 7 called them, he says, seven great and powerful enemies, stronger than you, mightier than you. And when the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land, whether thou goest to possess it, and has cast out thy nations before thee, So when he said the Lord will cast out, you know, you do not know that. So, Pastor CJ, who will cast them out? Is the arms of the everlasting God through the nation of Israel. It's not like the Lord. The Lord did not cast the enemies. The Lord, they were supposed to be the one to cast out the enemies. The Lord did not drive them away. They had to enter the land and dispossess them. Oh, you are not getting me. So, they had to grow into their inheritance. So, the land of promise is a vast inheritance. You grow into it. As you are growing, you are casting out. You are casting and destroying, expelling. And I cast out many nations before thee. Now describe those nations. All of them, one thing similar to them, they have ITES. So they are nations of what? Heights. What did I say they are? It just means that they are giants. Huh? The Hittites, the Gagashites, Amorites, Canaanites, Perizzites, the Hivites, and the what? Jebusites. Seven nations, what? Greater and what? Mightier than thou. So these were the enemies in the land of inheritance. So if you are going to dispossess the enemies, you must be stronger than them. So what is the purpose of everlasting arms? To arm you against your enemies. So the Lord said to my Lord, sit down at my right hand until I make thy enemies thy footstool. So how they'll make their enemies thy footstool is that they will arm the church with an understanding. Hallelujah. That can trust them out and what? Destroy them. Yes, sir. You are not excited. Now look at that. Now take me to Deuteronomy. I'm coming back here. Look at it. He says, so the eternal God is thy refuge. Underneath are the everlasting arms. And he shall want the enemy from thee. So, and shall say destroy them. Plural. Them. So it means the enemy is not one. It's an arrangement of enemies. Destroy them. So all those enemies are the seven nations. Now I'm talking about it in terms of the Old Testament language. They are the seven nations. Interesting, the nation of Israel, in the time of Joshua, they began to conquer them gradually. You know, Jericho was one of them. They took Jericho and they were. But by the end of Joshua's life, they had not driven out all the enemies. And Joshua was already old. And that was not even the problem. The problem was that, okay, let's even imagine that they had not driven out the enemies and Joshua had got old. Joshua just announced someone else will continue. You know what the problem was? They had gone back into idols. Because the land of inheritance are full of idol abominations. You see, idolatry nations. They are not online. The height of those nations is in the strength of their ability to corrupt you. So God warned them that they should not intermarry with them. Because the intermarriage is going to pollute the purity of the seed of God. So God gave them instruction about all those things God told them to do. So they did not do it. By the time of Joshua, many of them had gone back into idols. So they were an advancing army in the promised land, but they were facing nations around them that were pulling them. For instance, some of those nations had fine girls. So imagine guys going to war. We are soldiers marching on the wall. In the name of Jesus, we shall conquer. Then they just flash some of the babes from Gachachais. And those babes, you know, they are, maybe guys are going to march. They see them, we are going to fetch water. We are going to march on the wall. And you'll say, Shalom lo dai laser. So they are negotiating themselves. They say, so actually, what's even wrong with Aaron and Moses and Joshua? There's nothing bad in this. Sir, those nations were stronger in their not by military strength, by the ability to pull. So those nations had glories. So he says, seven nations, they are glory nations. It's like you are coming from Nigeria. And they say, go on. Just pass through America. Don't let it corrupt you. Just pass through America. Pass through America. And possess the land. Don't touch any unclean thing there. Just possess it. Possess it. One guy, when he reached me, I reached Heathrow Airport. He sat down and said, hey. He was rolling on the ground. They don't leave. I don't escape them. My enemies don't fail. So somebody that is thinking like that, sir. That one is not just going to touch the thing. It will chop your clitty. So for you to be stronger than your enemies, you must have more judgment than them. You must be able to see through it. You are not stronger than an enemy that you are not wiser than. The only reason why Adam fell to Satan was wiser. Simple. Genesis chapter 3. There was none that was cunning as a serpent. And all the animals that God did, the serpent was more subtle. Believe me, brethren, we are going to face this serpent. But this serpent is no longer a serpent. It's now a dragon. Because a dragon is a flying serpent. So it means that you must be... To fight the serpent, the dragon, you must take flight. It is a war in the air. So it's the everlasting arms. It's even the everlasting arms of the true God. Because the everlasting arms of the living God are running armies. That's how God told me. He said, you first run, then you take a flight. So in the world of the living God, you are running. In the world of the true God, you have taken flight. And there's now the peak of the flying in the world of the true God, where you meet the dragon. Then after that, then you'll be caught up to God and his throne. Now, the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, so you can see, swaying, intelligence, doctrine. Sir, what do you think was worrying the seven churches? Because those churches were not ordinary. Those churches already had living works. There was no work there that was sanctuary work. There were works in the world of God. So God said, so if you check all those churches in the book of Revelation, they all had works. Some of them had even moved to the region of the true God. Church like Laodicea, they had gone far. They were already seeing the throne of God. I say God is giving us understanding. Amen. We will fight until we sit on the throne.
Amen.
Someone say, me, I'm not ready to fight, sir. If you don't fight, you'll be conquered. That's just what it means. So you have to choose. You'll be conquered. You'll be conquered completely. And subdued. So until... That season is where the light of the everlasting God will be communicated to the church. Until I make thy enemies thy footstool, and the last enemy is death. First Corinthians chapter 15, verse 23. Let's look at that scripture. Can we all say amen?
Amen.
I can't hear you say amen.
Amen.
Then come in the hand, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even to the Father, even the Father, when he have put down what? All rule and what? All authority and power. These are all spirits. All right? For he must what? Reign. Till he had what? Put all his enemies where? Under his feet. So until, that until is the season where the church will be completely harmed with the hands of the everlasting God. So we need complete harms to put the enemies under his feet. So it's not enough to be harmed with the hammeries of the living God. That don't be a complete subduing. We have to subdue all the enemies. So there are some enemies that you need light of the true God to begin to scan them. On top of the light. Now, Satan is actually on top of spiritual wickedness. He is the most wicked. You know, the Bible refers to him as the wicked one. He's the most wicked of all wickedness. So, all those are stratas of overcoming till you overcome the last enemy. Amen. Can we say amen?
Amen?
I mean, that death is the highest expression in Satan. It's called corruption. It's staining. It's to stain you. It's to just stain you. Satan is a high priest of death. Whatever he touches, he corrupts. So that death is not talking about, it's beyond physically dying. Can we say amen?
Amen?
You know, in the world to come, everybody will not die again. And people will still carry infirmities in their soul.
Yes, sir.
You don't understand? Let me say it this way. I don't want you to tag me. That's why I say, I'm using this wisdom to present it. People will carry Satan's property. See, all those infirmities in their soul, there are things that spirits did in men,
yes,
that they could not cure in time. They will now need the fruit, the leaf of the tree of life to heal nations. Do you think they are healing bodies? You don't heal bodies in the world to come. Come on, come on. What did I say? All bodies, they are either terrestrial or celestial. But all those bodies, they are bodies of, they are immortal bodies. They don't die again. So what are they healing? It means they are healing soul. What are they healing inside soul? Works inside soul. Diseases. That somebody has celestial, somebody has the body that cannot be subject to decay. But yet, he has decay inside his soul. So that's why the true healing is actually the healing of the soul. Physical healing is just to show you that God can truly heal man. The true healing is to heal the content of a man's life. It's to make a man whole from the inside. Because eventually, a time will come where physical death will be driven away. But yet, men will still be coming to the holy city to get teaching, understanding. They'll be using doctrine of the leaves, which is everlasting doctrine, to begin to heal nations, souls of men. Just like, you know, green leaves heal. So there will be green fruits to begin to heal the soul of diseases. Imagine now, look at it. A Christian, do you think that, so you know, there are many things that we have in us, sin as nature, that we will die and go to heaven with them. You know, yes, now. It's not like when they say, when the rapture, when the trumpet sound, when they don't catch you sinning, even though you go to hell, it's not like that. Many Christians are in heaven with infirmity where? In their soul, yes. Their ignorance is an infirmity. Now, even though when they get into an environment of blazing light, they will see it. I'm not too sure. I mean, they administer healing in the present heaven. I'm not too sure. I think you will just know your infirmity. You will know it. But it is not designed that the cure will be there. It is after this present earth is rolled away. And they move us into the world to come. They then begin administering healing. Nobody is saying amen anymore. So you now see why you have to use time very well. Stop playing with all those bad sins like malice, envy, all those things, jealousy. They are natures. If you don't allow them to heal it here, by the time you get to heaven, you'll be ashamed. Because they will show you what it is. Can we say amen? Shortcomings. Stature. Dwarf stature in the soul. I don't even know how we're going to be in the world. When we get to heaven, we'll be as we are in our soul. I'm just, don't mind me. If you are short, you'll really be short. We say, oh, that brother is tall and handsome. But in the spirit, he's a dwarf. And somebody is short now, but in the spirit, he's tall. Huh? So, you know, all those infirmities, dwarfness, short-sightedness, scurvy, crookedness, back lameness, flat nose, dumb ears. Those are diseases of the soul that it will take the everlasting gospel to heal. It's not even just any kind of gospel. It takes everlasting gospel to heal man completely and make man whole. So that's what they'll be administering in the world to come. And you see, what it means is that it is in the holy city, which is the bridal company, that administration of light is. Because the tree of life is in what? Is in the middle of the city. It means that everlasting life, eternal life, will be an outflow of the bridal church. So it is doctrine they'll be teaching. Don't think that I'm not sure. I don't know what it is. Let me not talk with all authority. That you'll be going and be plugging liver and mixing it. You go and pluck liver, you now mix it. You cook it, you now be drinking it. Sir, it's not that. The leaf of the tree is an understanding. The fruit of the tree is an understanding. They are all in the bride. Remember, the throne of God and the throne of the Lamb are in the city. So it means all of the Godhead are domiciled in the city. So all the administration that will heal nations are coming from that city. Out of their belly shall flow what? Of living water. Ezekiel 47 river is out of men. Oh, you didn't get me. If you read Ezekiel 47, it's talking about rivers that were flowing from the threshold of the altar and flowed to places where there were dry land and fishes that were dead. Things began to come alive. Nations began to come alive. That water is coming out of men. Is the fulfillment of John 7:37. Out of our belly shall flow rivers of living water. When you get born again, you don't have rivers of living water flowing out. You need to come into full stature. Can we say amen?
Amen.
And you have come into the full reward of God.
Amen.
Those are blessings of the city. May we find our place in that city.
Amen.
That's the prayer, greatest prayer they can pray for you on this earth. That you have your lot in that city. That's the heavenly city of God. Can we say amen?
Amen.
To have your lot in that city means that you are part of the highest aristocracy of the world to come. So until, that season of until is the season where they will harm the church with the light of the two arms of the everlasting God. Now, and it shall destroy what? The last enemy. That shall be destroyed is death. So this is the veil. Eh? Face of the crossing card, the veil is the veil of death. Can we say amen? Now, how I know is 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15, 45. Is it 45? Yes, go down. This same chapter. When he said, thank you. No. 53. Thank you. Go up. Is it 50? Thank you, 52. In a moment, in the twinkle of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised, what? Incorruptible. And what? We shall be changed. Can we say amen?
Amen.
So I believe that the last trump, I believe, I perceive that there are seasons inside. Huh? But the last trump is a trump of incorruption. It's an incorruptible trump. We normally talk about the rapture aspect of that trump. Huh? But before people are raptured or caught up to meet the Lord with the air, that same trumpet will have raised men incorruptible. Yes. Can we say amen?
Amen.
It's an incorruptible trumpet. When you look at it from the epistles, you see last trump. When you look at it from the book of Revelation, you see seven trumpets. Okay? So we have the seven trumpet. And the seven trumpet is one that finishes the mystery of God.
Yeah.
Can we say amen?
Amen?
This is my point. For the church to be physically caught up to meet the Lord in the air, it means the mystery of God has been finished in some people.
Yes, sir.
Oh, you're not getting what I'm saying? Ah! Can we say amen?
Amen.
So I can deduct that the last trump is the seventh trumpet.
Yeah.
The purpose of that seventh trumpet is to, look at it. In the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when it shall begin to sound, the mystery of God, what? Should be finished. So this mystery there is to finish all of the mysteries of God. So I believe that the last part of this mystery is when men will be physically caught up to me. I believe in the catching up of the saints. Actually, don't get me misunderstood. The word rapture is not in the Bible, but the concept is in the Bible. So the saints will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. But for them to be caught up, that is the last of the last.
Yes, sir.
Before saints are caught up, it means that an incorruptible church is already on the earth. So it means that the seventh trumpet work has been finished.
Yes, sir.
Oh, you are not getting what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Am I carrying everybody along?
Yes,
so, for this corruptible must put on incorruption. And this mortal must put on what? Immortality. Can we say amen?
Amen.
So when the corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall what? Then shall be brought to pass the saying that death is swallowed up what? Is this statement that we saw in Isaiah 25? Can we say amen? So we will be celebrating victory over death before we are caught up. We will be celebrating victory over death. The church that will close the age is a glorious church. It's not an escapist church. It's not a church that is, so, you know, Antichrist is slapping them, giving them blow. Buah. They're just holding on and holding on. In fact, some have even run away before Antichrist comes. That's the idea, you know. Now, I'm not speaking against post, pre, or mid. Me, I'm just saying my own. But the idea is that before Antichrist showed up, some people at the jackpot. Nothing there, I'm alone, you mean? Eh? But there's a problem with that theology. It's not complete. Eh? By the time we begin to probe it left, right, and center. When you run that theology through the book of Revelation, it's found faulty. When you run the two seven trumpets, book of Revelation, you'll find it faulty. You'll find that it's not. When you run it with Matthew 24, you find it faulty. It's not coherent. There is no catching up away before the tribulation. That's my position. I know there's theologians can argue on this die. If somebody catch me, is ready to kill me. But me, I try to prepare myself to go through something than to run away. So if it happens that it does not happen, Did I lose? It's you that were not prepared that you have a problem. You'll be shocked. Oh. But they said that rapture will have happened. You know, theologians teach that Revelation chapter 4, rapture has happened. You know, Revelation chapter 4 was when we saw the throne set in heaven. Revelation chapter 5 was when they began to what? The Lamb went to take the seal. The seven sealed book. Revelation chapter 6 was when they began to open the seal. So, as far as theologians are concerned, Revelation chapter 6, when it was happening and opening the seal, the church is already in heaven, smiling. So, I have a problem with that. Because the seal is the book, is the book of God. That book is also the final secrets of redemption.
Yes, sir.
If they don't open that book, the church will not be perfect. So, and the church will not be raptured before it's perfect. Hello.
Yes, sir.
I hope I've not crashed on people's theology. It's good to disturb some of those things. So, that theology does not hold water. By the time we subject it to many sides of scripture, it does not hold water. I'm not saying that they will not be catching up. The only problem is the timing.
Yes,
so, but what I'm saying is that the last trump is a trumpet of incorruption and immortality. Let's repeat that.
The last trump is a trumpet of incorruption and
immortality. Let's say that again.
The last trump is a trumpet of incorruption.
Or the finishing mystery. When you are finishing mystery, what it means is that you are being harmed with the final mysteries of God. The last mystery of God is the mystery of the true God. And the mystery of the true God is an arm against death.
Hallelujah.
What is death? Ability to corrupt. Now, what does it mean that I am harmed against death? It means that I'm kept from the wicked one. It means there's I am harmed beyond corruption, changing, spoiling. I am like the church that has been established as a pillar in the temple of God that goeth no more out. You are established in God. To be true means that you are established in God. Can we say amen? That is an arm. It's an arm of God. So, incorruption. There are seasons of incorruption. There's incorruption, there's immortality. So, immortality is even twin, Pastor CG. There's, in the Bible, there are two words for immortality. One is aptasia. One is atanasia. One of it means incorruption. So there is an immortality that is everlasting life. It is a seal of the true God.
Amen.
It's a seal of the true God. Take me to the one in, thank you. Okay, not this one. Not the one in 1 Timothy 6. The one in Romans chapter 2. Look at that. Thank you. This one is aptasia. Look at it. Thank you. Incorruptibility. Generally, unending existence. Genuineness. Immortality. Incorruption. Sincerity or purity. There's another one, atanasia. So there is immortality before immortality. There is an immortality in eternal life. There is an immortality that is a seal of everlasting life. What did I say? The one in 1 Timothy chapter 6 is different. I can bet it, but let's check it. That one is... immortal, invisible, eternal, immortal, invisible. Look at it. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Look at it. Atanasia. What it means, immortality, deathlessness. So, atanasia is in eternal life. Can we say amen? This one is the one in 1 Timothy chapter 6. Right? There's another one in Romans. I mean, at times you have to do Bible study on this thing. Oh. So one is before. One is a seal. The other is a crown. Of what? A seal too is a crown. You know, Jesus is crowned with many crowns. Now, everlasting life is a crown. Believe me, it is. Eternal life is a crown of crowns. So that's why they say Jesus has many crowns. He has many crowns. It means he has everlasting crowns. And he has crowns, what? In eternal life. So give me the immortality in 1 Timothy chapter 6. Quickly do that. All right? It's good to see that. In Romans chapter 2. The ones in Romans. Them who seek for glory, honor, immortality, eternal life. Right? There's one scripture like that. I think Romans chapter 2 verse 6, if I'm right. Am I right? Aptasia. Incorruptibility. Look at that. That is this the one in Romans chapter 2? Are you sure? Aptasia. You can see. So them that seek for what? Take me now to that scripture. Them that seek for glory. Look at it. Who will render to every man according to his deeds? To them what? By patient continuance in what? Well doing. Seek for what? You are not talking, no? So we can say, comma, eternal life. Glory, honor, and what? Immortality, everlasting. So this immortality here is incorruption. It's aptasia. So this is my point. There is a crown of everlasting life that is a seal of incorruption. It's also called immortality. Can we say amen? It's a test. It's immortality before immortality. The way the Lord describes everlasting life will give you a taste of everything in eternal life. It's a foretaste. So, deathlessness begins from the seal of everlasting life. Overcoming death begins from everlasting life. By the time you enter into eternal life, you are completely above the radar or the comprehension of death. There's a world that death cannot understand. Full everlasting life, which is the light of the true God, is the one that destroys death. What does it mean to destroy death? It arrests it completely, makes it immobile. Amen. So the arms of the everlasting God is an arm against sin and what? Death. Amen. Maybe I will build from this. Now take me to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. The Lord is giving us understanding. Amen. I think I should just move into. I'm teaching armies. That's what I've been teaching since. When you think army, don't think So to be harmed is to have light. Understand it. Now, who has saved us and called us? Are we being blessed? Agagosha, Father, Gagosha, Shasha, Hogosha, Gosha, Omagosha, Agagosha, Amagosha, Emegosha, Emigosha, Agagosha, Emegosha, Ashagosha, Ashagosha, Kashagosha, Asha, Ashaha, Ashagosha, Emihasha, Asha, Asha, Ashagosha, Shahasha, Ashama, Asha, Asha, Ashagosh, Ashagosha, Eshagosha, Ashe, 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 Ashasha, Asha Ese, Asha Ese, Ashe, Asha, 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 Ashawa, 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 Eshawa, 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 Ashawa, 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 Ashawa,
Ashawan sheshe. Ashawa sheshe. Ashao. Kemashao. Kemashao. Kemasha. Kemasha. Kediasha. Kemasha. Kediasha. Say the Lord. Can we have that, please? Let's just have that. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Oh,
thank you, Jesus. Samara Kapovera de Belakarga Babrovene Pragajia Braba. Izapashia, Pashia, Palapashia. Izasha, Pasha, Pasha, Pash, Pash, Prapash, Prapash. Ivresh, Presh, Prash, Presh. Prash, Presh, Prefinicia, Prashia. Izapashia, Pelasha, Pelasha. Izafalasha, Felasha. Izishal, Pashishisha, Pashashal, Shap. Sharp, sharpness, sharpness, the sharpness of the axe. For the axe is laid on the tree. For the axe is laid on the tree. For you in the season where I'm placing my axe on the tree. On the tree of sin. On the tree of sin. On the tree. On the tree of sin. For I am set. 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 I am set to go down to the roots. I'm set to go down to the roots. I am set to go down to the roots. Wherein the culture of death has been set to sit in. I am set to go down to the roots, where this culture of sin has been evolving. For I want to go down to the roots. I want to go down to the roots. To the very root of sin, to the very root of death. For I'm going to your roots. I'm set to go to the roots. For many are bound there. Many are sitting in bondage, in the bondage of death, 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 such that you express death. But it's time for my axe to go.
Yes.
My axe is laid on the tree. My axe is laid on the tree, for I want to liberate many. To a place where they begin to soar, where they take lift in the spirit. For death is that enemy.
Yeah.
Death is that enemy that has held you bound. But I'm set. Even with the sharpness of my sword, I'm set. Even with the fierceness of my face, I'm set. In my wrath, I'm set. To go down to the core. For it's your time for liberation. It's your time for you to begin to fly. I want my own eagles. I want my horse riders. For I want an army.
Yes.
An army in the heavens. For I want to ride again into the earth. And I want a people who will give me their wings for me to ride. For I want to ride on your wings. Ride into the nations of the earth. I want to ride into the earth again. For my kingdom is coming. For my reign cometh. And my reign is soon to come. I'm taking away your fears. I'm going for your fears. I want Shiasha. For the devil's works in you. I want to go after them. So you can come into your liberty, say the Lord.
Can we all say amen? So what has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own what? Purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus where? Before the world began. So our call is older than creation. What did I say? I can't hear you. So like I said, that the origin of the thought of man, I perceive, is from the eternal God. That's why eternal life is a promise. Eternal life is the original promise of God to man. It's for man to participate in the fellowship of the Godhead. It means that man can get to Godhead. If Godhead is not a promise, man cannot get there. So man is a part of the Godhead. Huh? Can we all say amen?
Amen?
Now, so but it's now made manifest what by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who art pastors, who art what? Abolish death. So I love, so Jesus had conquered death. Can we say amen?
Amen?
Now, what does he mean? Now, everything that is an armor against death, Jesus already has it. All the keys, thank you, of hell and death. So death is actually a covenant. Death glues to man because death is by agreement. You cannot just break death by talking. Death is tied to man because of works. So you cannot just... We have an agreement with grave. We have an agreement with death. So when Jesus died and resurrected, what Jesus had at resurrection were the keys of hell and death. Can we say amen?
Amen.
Now see, there is hell and death, there is sin and death. Eh? But hell and death is also sin. But it's just, at times, it becomes of doctrine, you want to divide them. Before Jesus went to die, he had the keys of the covenant of sin and death, or the law of sin and death that is tied to this world. Because Jesus had already overcome the world before he died on the cross. What did I say Jesus had done? Even since, even before the world, what we know as the world, Jesus had overcome it before he started ministry. So that key was already inside him. Key, what does key mean? Authority. Wisdom. Judgment. So Jesus already had the judgment to deal with this world, even before he started physical ministry. What Jesus needed to get at the cross was the key of all keys. It was the key of what? Hell and death. The one that puts man inside grave. Because hell is what? Embalms death. Am I right? One is grave, one is hell. One is grave, one is death. So, Jesus went to the cross to receive all wisdom against all forces of death. The highest authority of death was Jesus, what Jesus went for. So, he went to hell for it. He went to hell and broke hell. There was jailbreak from hell. When hell holds you bound, nobody they escape. Even righteous men, they were in the other side of hell.
Yeah.
What you call paradise. That paradise is just the, or what the Bible calls Abraham's bosom, was just the, it's just like staying in Egypt, but you are in Goshen.
Yeah.
So that's why when Jesus resurrected physically, holy men resurrected with him. So men were still on. So what Jesus came to do was to liberate man, all generations of men, from the key of death. Death still held men bound. He was, oh Lord, because concerned. The Bible did not say Enoch overcame death. He escaped. There are two different things. No man overcame death and until the Son of God came. Can we say amen?
Amen.
Enoch escaped. But he didn't overcome. In fact, that you go to heaven does not mean you overcame death. There were prophets that flew to heaven. Does not mean they overcame death. It takes the high judgment. Now, to deal with death, are you with me? You're not talking to me again. You need the light of the true God. You need the light or the armory of the true God to demystify death.
So Jesus went, conquered grave, conquered death. And that says, I have the keys of hell and death. So meaning that the covenant of hell and death cannot be broken. So he says, what abolish what? Death. Then he now brought the key. So what are the keys? The key that abolished death is key of what? Life and immortality. Let's shout it out. Let's shout it one more time. Those are the keys of the everlasting gospel. So what the everlasting gospel brings to you is life. Incorruption. Immortality. Deathlessness. That incorruption is sinlessness. Those are the keys. Those are the arms of God. Amen. The arms of God. Amen. It says, has brought life and immortality. This immortality here is everlasting life. It's everlasting life. Life and what? Immortality. Those are the two arms of the everlasting God. To light through the gospel. So this is the gospel of God. Amen. Let's see one more scripture. Songs of Solomon chapter 6. This is where we took the theme of Baba's blessing from. I'm sure Daddy will come and bless us heavily. Heavily. I've been reading, well, I think I've read that scripture before now, but it's just like they just put light on it. So the Shulamite church is the incorruptible church. You know, you had many women in Songs of Solomon. You had daughters of Jerusalem. You had the virgins. You had the Shulamites. Now the Shulamite is the perfection of all virgins. What did I say the Shulamite is? That word Shulamite, Pastor CJ, means perfect. Shulam, perfect. So it means that the Shulamite has perfect light. Because the lights of God are good. Good. Urim and Tumim. Light and what? Perfection. Actually, the word Urim is from the word Ha, means burning light. Then Tumim means shining light. So the true light is shining light. What did I say? When you say true light is not shining, he's talking about perfect light. Then we now have burning light. Burning light is salvation light. Perfect light is glory light. It's from salvation to glory. How do I know? Two things in Psalm 24. He shall receive salvation and righteousness. Can we say amen? Amen? So, salvation and then glory. Glory is also salvation, but glory is crowning of salvation. Amen. Your salvation should make you come into glory. So, they will save you and then they will now crown you with glory. So, it's salvation and glory. Salvation and glory. So, Urim is burning light. Amen. Am I right? Isaiah 62. Or is where you get you are. All right. So it's salvation and righteousness. All right. You know, you have to compare scripture with scripture. So you start with salvation. Salvation is actually burning light. Glory is shining light. For Zion's sake, I will not hold my peace. For Jerusalem's sake, I will not. Until what? The righteousness go forth as brightness. And salvation as a lamp that what? Burneth. So, but it's first a lamp that burneth. Oh, you don't get what I'm saying? It starts as burning light. And then peaks as what? Shining light. I don't know why at times prophets, they bring the last as the first. It's a prophetic way. It's a puzzle. But when you know doctrine, you know Urim is before Tumim. Yes, Urim means burning. You have burning light. It's from all.
To me, it means what? Shining light. So those are judgments of God. And they are arms of God. So, Pastor CG, armies of God have complete judgment of God.
Amen.
Say, armies. So they have the judgment of the living God. The judgment of the true God. They are armories. So the Shulamites, both armies are in the Shulamites.
Yes, sir.
So the Shulamite means perfect. So for you to be perfect, you must have two armies. Take me back there. Songs of Solomon chapter 6. So we is she that looketh forth as the morning, fair as the moon, clear as the sun, and terrible as an army with banners. You know, when I checked, army with banners in some translation is different. It calls, you know, in KJVs, in italics. So when you check some other translation, it means stars in their procession. So these armies are stars. So when it comes to glory, Pastor CG, you have sun, then you have stars. If our moon is Christ, when you look at that woman in the book of Revelation, it's moon, sun, stars. Moon, sun, stars. So everlasting light begins with moon burning. No, begins with sun burning. Sun is a burning light. I need you to move fast. What did I say sun is? So the woman in the book of Revelation was clothed with the sun. Salvation. So, but it's not enough. You need glory light to crown burning light. So this Shulamite church is two armies. It's an arm, is a burning army and a shining army. Brightness, their judgment. We should look at forth as the morning, fair as the moon, clear as the sun, terrible as an army with banners, stars in their procession. So the highest of sons are star sons. And you know a star looks like a crown. Actually, a star makes a crown. You see, when you see crown, it's a star. So what's a star? Finished work. Hallelujah. And now, let's just round up. Right now, thank you. I went down to the Garden of Nuts to see fruits of the valley, to see whether the vine flourished. Those are everlasting trees and pomegranates. All of them, they are everlasting. They are everlasting fruits. Verse 12. However, was I aware my soul was made me like the chariots of Aminadib. Return, return. Why is it? It's twice. You have to return twice. Return, return, for you to become a Shulamite. Return, return. Oh, Shulamite. Return. What will you see in the Shulamite? Actually, when you check some translation, it was two people that spoke there. If you see some versions, one asked a question, the other brought answers. I don't know if you have that translation with you. Is it not? Aha. Is it? Is it NKJV Amplified? Return, return, Shulamite, return. That we should gaze on you. Why should you gaze at the Shulamite? So, some other churches were calling the Shulamite. We said we want to gaze at you. It's not this translation. Amen. I don't know. I have them on my tab, but I packed my load. Can you look for another? There are some translations that they broke it down. This call and response, yes. So why should you gaze at the Shulamite? They ask a question. Why should you gaze at the Shulamite? It's because the Shulamite has the perfections of God.
Amen.
No, don't give me this. Please, can you give me my tab? Let me just show you that. So, thank you. I still give me KJV, but if you don't see that one, you can give me KJV. Give me back KJV. If you don't see, there are some versions that broke it down. No. Just leave it as KJV. So return, O Shulamite, return, that we may look what? Upon thee. So there was a church calling the Shulamite. Eh? What will you see in the Shulamite? Can we all say that? You know, what are you going to see in the perfect church? What will you see in the Shulamite? Eh? It says, comma, as it were, the what? Company of what? Two armies. So the Shulamite is a one company. Shulamite, a company, but it has what? Two armies. Is as a company, an arm of light, which is good light. Then he has an arm of what? Perfection.
Yes, sir.
It has an arm of salvation. It has an arm of righteousness, that is brightness. Thank you, Lord Jesus. What's in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3? So, brightness of his glory and the what? Express image of the person. Can we say amen?
Amen.
So, the armies of God, when we say armies, armies of God, they have all the wisdom of the everlasting God
amen.
As their inheritance.
Amen.
Eh? So, when you say you have judgment, it means that is what you used to live. So, before Jesus left the earth, Jesus was a company of two armies. No wonder Jesus could inspire Satan. Eh? Jesus had these two arms inside him. By the time he entered, before he entered the cross, he already had it. Eh? He was able to finish the Father's will. We'll not be able to finish the Father's will without being fully armed. And that is the reason why God is raising what? He's raising his armies. Revelation chapter 19, in closing, call them the armies of heaven. I like what they call the armies of heaven. They were not armies of earth. So we have armies of heaven. So these two armies, there's no earth there. They are armies in the air. Eh? They are, Pastor Friday, there's an army that is an earth army. That's army that has the wisdom of Christ. But those ones, they don't fight beyond the head. So any enemy that goes beyond the head, they can't handle it. So the armies of the head, they can't handle spiritual wickedness. So those spiritual wickedness, they are perverted heavenly armies. It was one of them that came to visit Paul. They are twisted spirit. When I say spirit is wicked, it's a twisted spirit. They are more twisted spirit. And they are the custodians of what? The places. You see those heavenly places. Eh? They are what the church that has come into full glory. When the church comes into full glory, number one thing is that we'll first become immune to them. What did I say we'll become? To become immune is that you overcome them. Because, sir, with everlasting light, you can overcome all wickedness. But God is going to move us beyond overcoming.
Amen.
By the time we overcome, because the promises of eternal life, they are to overcome us, Pastor Siji. You must overcome before you can now come into the reward of eternal life. So, but after we overcome, overcoming is a level of reigning. It's a level of reigning. But there is now a catching up to the throne of God, where you will now receive the rewards of God in eternal life. One of it is called the rod of iron.
What you need the throne and the rod for is to now subdue enemies that you are immune to. Come on, you're not saying amen. You have overcome them, meaning that they cannot. You know, the Man-Child Company is a special company that has never been since the church age. We have always had overcomers. All the apostles were overcomers. But we never had Man-Child. Because the only Man-Child Company I perceive are the ones. It's a critical mass of believers that at once they will what? Be caught up to the throne. And they will be given what? The rod of iron. They will have rewards. Because the throne of God is a reward in eternal life. What did I say the throne of God is? The rod of iron is also what? A reward in eternal life. They will have a rod of iron. What do they use to do that rod? By the time they have that, that's a signature to finally drive away Satan from the air. So it means that if we overcome Satan, he still will stay in the air. Now, let me ask you a question. Did Paul overcome Satan?
Yes.
Did John overcome Satan?
Yes.
Did Peter overcome Satan?
Yes, sir.
Did Satan leave the air?
No.
So now understand what we now need the Man-Child Company for. So the Man-Child Company is different from the armies of heaven. The Man-Child is a special squad. The only purpose of the Man-Child is to leave. Satan must leave the air.
Yes, sir.
So these ones are not just overcomers. They have now received as a corporate membered body. They have received the rod of iron. Let's just read that place and I'll round up. Ah. And she brought forth the Man-Child who was to rule all nations with the rod of iron. And her child was caught up to what? Unto God, comma, and what? And to his throne. And the woman fled. So the woman fled. Take me to the place. Verse 10. Where they said they drove ahead, there was war in heaven. So this kind of war has never existed. Because now there have been different kind of war, but not this kind. This kind of war now is they want to evict a whole tenant. Come on, what did I say they want to do? You know all those tenants, thought about the landlord. Tenant, thought the landlord. That landlord children can do nothing about him. Old tenant, that the children of the landlord cannot even approach him. That's who Satan is. He's a old tenant that already he has become Baba Saleh. He controls things. Nobody can talk to him. So, but when the Man-Child is caught up to God and his throne, finally, this kind of war. This war is for one thing. Eviction notice. Now, it is now backed up legally. So it means that men have been overcoming Satan. Men have been overcoming Satan, but there was no legal authority issued from the throne to evict him from the air. But a generation is arising. That is what Hagin prophesied. There will arise an army. It has to be that army. Why? Hagin said that Michael will show up. Why do you think Michael will show up? He will come with majestic things that will equip this army. Why? Michael wants to drive away this guy. But he needs a company that will what? Be caught up to God and the throne. Can we say amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Sir, this is why you are living on earth. Sir, if you are living for anything less, you don't know why you are living in this time. God is looking for a company that can fulfill this vision. So there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought. Against the dragon. And the dragon fought and his angels. And prevailed not. Neither was what? Their place found anymore. What? What? It means they had a place. Sir, these guys had a place before. Legally. So if you want to cross to heaven, you have to go through their place. And they can disturb you. Remember, there was a guy that wanted to send message to Daniel. He has to go through their place. Sir, they block him. Satan said, make a block him. Now we get this. Now we the wrong things. Now we get this kaba. Now we the wrong things for you. Men are block them. But a time will come where there will not be any blockage. Free access. Why? A company is what? Occupying the hell. So there was no place. When there was no place, there was a shout from heaven. Now is come salvation. Now I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of what? So this guy, don't they accuse brethren? So let me tell you, because you see, why brethren? You see, it's these are brethren of testimony of Jesus. And they must use testimony to overcome him. So this is the highest warfare. The highest warfare is against brethren. Who are these brethren? They are those that are becoming prophets. Prophets. Prophets of God. Tabernacle of God. Prophets of God. Thy brethren, the prophets. So these brethren are those that are going to the throne. So Satan is always going after any company that are becoming brethren. Yes, what are brethren? Those that have testimony. Amen. They don't just have word, they have testimony. Amen. And out of word and testimony, they must generate prophecy. Amen. Because you need that to finish all the mystery of God. So accuser of our brethren, what? Has been cast down. Who accused them before? Our God, day and night. So the highest operation of Satan is an accuser. So satanic operation, that is highest, is when he begins to accuse brethren. I say, God will give us judgment.
Amen.
So the greatest breakthrough we can have in overcoming this accuser is in perfecting love. So God will give us wisdom. We must perfect love, sir. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their what? Testimony. For they love not their lives unto death. So if you have testimony, I still love your life. If you have testimony, I still love your life unto death. You have not used the testimony. Because you are supposed to use the testimony not to love your life unto what? Death. Can we say amen? I can't hear you say amen. So those that are sitting on the throne, Pastor CG, they do not love their lives unto death. They have ceased from the present. So anything that still has radar in the present cannot originate from this present. Let me say it in English. Let me translate. There's no tool that Satan cannot use as long as it's a product of the present. If that thing is found in the present, it's a tool for him. It means this army, they must what go beyond the present. To be sealed with everlasting life is to be older than the present. Because everlasting life of God is older than creation. So God is making you older than what? The present. That's the only way. You must go to a place where the dragon does not know the wisdom. You have to go to a realm higher than the wisdom. You know, what was it? Einstein said, solving a problem at the level of which the problem was created is foolishness or something. So if a problem was created at this level, you cannot be at this level and solve the problem. You want to go higher. So to solve the problem of death, you have to go to a world that is older than death. And that is the wisdom of the true God. The true, ever say true God. The true God is the perfection of everlasting strength.
Amen.
It is the perfection of wisdom that can destroy death. Amen. And death shall be swallowed in victory. So the armies of God are armies that will swallow up death.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Let us begin to talk to God. Glory to God. Come on, let's talk to him. Lift up your hands and just thank the Lord for supply of the Spirit. Father, we give you thanks. We give you thanks. We give you thanks. Oh, glory to God. Give him thanks. Give him thanks. Give him thanks. Prophecy is being fulfilled in our generation. The words of God are breaking forth. Can we thank God for causing our ears to hear these things? Heaven is opening the gates of understanding, blessing a generation with sight that can make them journey. Father, we give you thanks. We give you praise. We give you glory. Come on. Give him thanks. Just thank God tonight. That's what I want you to do. Thank God. Give worship to God. Let worship break out of your spirit. Worship break out of your spirit. Worship break out of your spirit. Regabaka. Jomina Sefrena. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Come on, give him thanks. Just give him thanks tonight. Give him thanks. Give him praise. Give him glory. Now has come salvation and kingdom. The kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. We give you thanks for a generation with no salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. Thank you because you are raising armies. Armies that will perfect, Lord, the works of God in the earth. In the church. Come into the program of God. The finishing program of God. Come on, lift up your voice and thank him.
We hope you have been blessed through these words of life. You can get more messages on our website, www.thecitygatechurch.org. Stay blessed.